When I was a kid, I lived in a two-story wood-framed house, and my bedroom was on the second floor of this house. And when morning time came, my father would stand at the bottom of the stairs, and he would tell me it was time to get up several times. And his favorite thing was, "I want to hear your feet hit the floor." No, I was not above faking it. Boom, boom. I did that. Sorry. My mom, on the other hand, would come upstairs. She knew better than to guess that once I said I was out, I was out. So she would come upstairs and say, "Rise and shine." I'm not a riser and shiner. No, I do not rise and shine. Crawl and groan, maybe. Not rise and shine. That's not me. I especially hate getting up in the dark, you know, when it's so early in the morning that the sun hasn't gotten up. I figure if it's not good enough for the sun, not good enough for me yet. So I'm not getting up then. That's just not how it works. And yet, rising and shining is just what the scriptures tell us to do in Isaiah chapter 60. "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." That's beautiful. Rise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord, whose glory? The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. We have no glory of our own. If it's going to be glorious, it's going to be because of reflected glory, yes? And so, Jesus is our glory. We are to arise and shine in His glory. And we talked a couple of weeks ago about what this glory was, what it means to have the glory of God, what it means to shine with the glory of God. You recall that we talked about Moses. And Moses asked, you remember, to see the glory of the Lord, remember? And what happened? God placed him in the cleft of the rock. And as he passed by, he declared the name, the character of the Lord. The Lord God, merciful and gracious. That's what the Lord's glory is all about, being merciful and gracious. Merciful, by definition, means that they did not deserve it, right? Because if it was deserved, then it's not mercy, it's what's due. And so, the Lord, His glory, is doing loving service to those who don't deserve it. And that's why we're all here. Because though we didn't deserve it, He loved us anyway and gave Himself for us, yes? And so, we see this character of love. Let's take a look at the life of Jesus and see this glory. John, turn with me to the book of John, if you would, please. John chapter 1. A very familiar verse to you. John chapter 1. You with me? John chapter 1. I want to hear those pages turning. It's good sound. I want you to be in the Word of God. John chapter 1, verse 14. John 1:14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Who are we talking about? Jesus. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His" what? "His glory. His glory. What did we see when we saw the glory of Jesus? We saw a man going about doing good, healing and teaching about the love of God. One who would come and free the captives, yes? We saw the glory of God. One who loves those who don't deserve it. The glory, we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This was Jesus. This is who Jesus was, the one who declared the glory of the Lord in His life, in what He did, in who He met, in the people that did not deserve it. We see the glory of the Lord, a character of love. Turn to chapter 8 in John. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 29. We see just what Jesus did in John 8, 29. And He who sent me, Jesus said, is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him. He's with me, and I do the things that please Him. You see how Jesus was able to live this life. It was not by His own strength. He gave that up to come here and live as a man. He did it because the Father was always with Him and He lived to please God. How did He please God? By healing the lepers, giving sight to the blind, and life to the dead. Preaching truth. That's what Jesus did, to do those things that would please God. Verse 12, take a look at verse 12. What did Jesus say about Himself then? Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus was a fulfillment, if you will, of Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is upon you. Jesus fulfilled that exactly. And then John chapter 17. John chapter 17. John 17, verse 4. I have glorified you, Jesus said in prayer to His Father. I have glorified you. How did Jesus glorify God? In the acts of service that He did. The things that He accomplished on this earth. And you might say, well, I can't heal blind people. I can't cleanse lepers. Can you give a cup of cold water to one of the least of these? That's what He calls us to do. He doesn't call us to be anything great or wonderful or Superman. He calls us to give a cup of cold water, to speak a kind word, to be a loving servant to others. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do, Jesus said. That was the life of Jesus. He finished the work that the Father had given Him to do. What about you and I? Do we have a work to finish? We talk about a finished work, don't we? We want to finish the work. What does that mean? What do we have to do? Do we have to get up and be super preachers? Hold evangelistic meetings 7 days a week? Is that what we're looking for? Or are we looking for a cup of cold water? What has Jesus asked us to do? How about be like him? Go about doing good. Isn't that what he's really looking for? This is not hard, is it? It's having the Father with us and doing good. Well, that's a whole lot different today than it used to be, isn't it? Times are ugly now, huh? Don't know who you can trust or what you can trust. When we moved from Korea after serving there in the mission field, we had lived there in Seoul City. Seoul City at the time was about 12 million people. A lot of people. And so we decided we needed to move where it was less crowded, so we moved to Southern California. we lived for 3 months in Loma Linda, California. It's so clear there, you can cut the air with a knife. It's great. And so after that, I started teaching up in the desert of Southern California, a little dinky town so far away from everywhere, the Navy thought it was a good place to put a base. So we lived in a town called Ridgecrest, California. But on one of the first days that we were heading up to Ridgecrest, it was night, actually. We were heading up there. The sun had gone down. It was nighttime. And we were going out through the desert. And we just, you know, out there, it's this town and nothing between. And we were right in between towns. And as I got out there, I was looking out the windshield, but I happened to glance up and I saw the stars. And I thought to myself, this will be really cool. Because having grown up in a city of 12 million people, my kids had really never seen them. It was July, a bright, clear July night, warm. In between cities, out in the desert, where just the coyotes are and axe murderers. So I pulled off the road, and that's what my kids thought. What's happening? What's Dad gone loco again? What's happening? And so not just that I pull off, but I realized that after the headlights were on for so long, their eyes were probably used to the light, so I'm just sitting. What's going on, Dad? I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for their eyes to adjust to the darkness, right? So we're just sitting and they're getting nervous. What's happening? So once they got to the proper level of nervousness, I ordered them out of the car. That worked wonders. So they get out of the car and they're all standing around. Well, I didn't want them standing on the sides of the car because sometimes the big trucks come along and they're sleepy, not a good plan. So we moved off to the side. So we're all standing there outside the car and they're wondering what's going on. And I said, look up. And they all looked up. And the kids just went, oh. And because it was a warm July evening, my little daughter, just 4 years old, looking up at the sky said, Jesus, fireworks. It was beautiful, man. They had never seen stars like that because in Seoul, you could see about 5 of them. And in Loma Linda, you could see 3. But here you could see thousands of stars. Why could you see so many out there that you couldn't see where the lights were helping you in the city? Light pollution. It wasn't that the lights were helping. The lights kind of drowned it out, didn't it? But it was when it was darkest that we could see the stars the best. Brothers and sisters, When the earth is darkest is when the Lord needs you to be seen the best, to arise and shine. Behind the sun and the moon, there, do you know the next two brightest things in the sky? Venus, I heard that. And the other one? The space station. Can you believe that? The space station is the next brightest thing in the sky. It's the fourth brightest thing in our sky now, even counting the sun. Can you imagine? And it shines by reflected light, as does Venus. We also shine because the Lord's brightness is shining on us. This is how we shine to a world in darkness. This is how we are shining. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2, it says, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you." Brothers and sisters, I've met so many people who are afraid of the end times. Oh, I don't want to go through the time of trouble. If we lay low, if we don't do anything now, maybe it'll go past. And yeah, okay, the kids will have to do it, but at least I won't have to go through the time of trouble. I'll die first. What? Is that really where we want to be? Is that really what we want to have happen? The Lord is calling on us to arise and shine, to stand amid the darkness for Him. Arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. Friends, will we leave them in that deep darkness? Do we hate them so much that we'll leave them in darkness because we're afraid of the time of trouble? But the Lord will arise over you. The beautiful thing here is we don't do it ourselves. That's a good thing, you know, because I actually had to get forgiveness from David this morning. I made a mistake, and David said, "It's okay, I forgive you." It's beautiful. We don't have to do it ourselves because I know. We make mistakes, and we don't have to be the ones showing our own life, our own lights. See, I don't want to walk in the sparks of my own kindling, do you? But I want to have the Lord arise over us. This is not dependent on us. This is not about us. It says, "And His glory will be seen upon you." The Lord has His promise that it's going to happen for you. We can step out in faith because the Lord has promised and His promises are sure. I seem to remember a parable about the end times and this dark hour. Matthew chapter 25. Are you with me? Matthew chapter 25. "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened," in verse 1. Are you with me? Matthew chapter 25. "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." What were these virgins going to do with these lamps? What were the lamps going to do? Shine. You're not going to get a lamp to put it in your pocket. That'd be a really bad idea, wouldn't it? You'd shine, but it ain't going to be like you want. When you get a lamp, you light it to give light to others. Right? so that people can see where to walk. And Jesus said, if you follow me, you will not walk in darkness. We read in chapter 8 of John. For the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And we make a big deal about these 5 wise and 5 foolish. Let's spend our time today on something else. Let's look at what these guys did. Verse 3, those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil. Where is the source of the light for these virgins? Is it that they're just burning up their candle at both ends, burning up the wick? What is it that's supposed to burn in a lamp? The wick? The oil. The oil. They are supposed to be burning the oil. That is to say, it's not from them. They have to go and buy the oil, right? We get the oil from somewhere else. You know, as I know, this is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. We are to have the light because of the Holy Spirit in us, the reflection of God in us. We are to arise and shine, not because of us, not because of what we do or how good we are, but because the Lord shines through us, just as He shone through Jesus. It's what He is willing to do. Now, these were sleeping, as you remember. We've often made a big deal of that. Take a look at verse 6 now. And at midnight, when? Midnight. Let me ask you a question. Is the sun up at midnight? Assuming you're not in Alaska, if you're in Florida, is the sun up at midnight? Now, it's dark. I know that's profound. You expect when you come to hear a sermon that you will hear profound things. There it is. It's dark at midnight. It's pretty good, huh? I thought that one up all by myself. And because it's dark, the lamps do some good. Do lamps make light in the daytime? Yeah. But they help at night when it's darkest. And that's where you come in. You see, mercy and goodness, like the character of God, that glory of God shines when it's darkest, when it is undeserved. You get it? When the person we love is not lovable. When we, in our human natures, if we're really honest with ourselves, deep down inside, we don't want to love them. Right? But we do it because the Spirit of God is in us, loving through us. We're reflecting that. And the old man is dead, and the new man in Christ shines. For the light has come. It's a beautiful thing what the Lord has done for us, isn't it? It's a beautiful thing. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Are we ready to make that cry? Are we ready to preach that gospel? Are we ready to give that message, that midnight cry message? Are we ready to work by the Holy Spirit and do what He's asked us to do? You see, the stage is set. The world is dark enough, isn't it? And God is ready. You see, lots of people want to start classifying virgins and say, this one's foolish, this one's wise, this one's foolish. And we sit around talking about things like that. Right now, we can all still go and buy. We can all come prepared with oil. We all have that opportunity to drink largely of the water of life. Water and oil, here I'm mixing my metaphors, huh? You get the point. The Holy Spirit is still pleading with us today. Still ready to work through us today. It is still time today. He's waiting on us today. The time for the Holy Spirit to be poured out is today. Not someday pie in the sky. Maybe it'll happen over the rainbow when God is ready. No, God's ready now. God wants to do it now. He wants to pour out His Spirit on us today. The world needs us today. Gross darkness covering the people today. We have Lakeland to win today. Amen. It's our time to reach out. God is ready. The world is ready. Everything is in place. Are we ready? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, way in the back. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But you, who is he talking to? Us, thank you very much. To us. He is talking to us right now, right here, right in this church in Lakeland. You are a chosen generation. This generation right here. You are a chosen generation. Not someone else. Not later. Not for some other generation to come along and maybe they'll take care of this. It is now. It is us. It is a chosen generation that has gathered in this place today. A royal priesthood. We're not beaten, downtrodden, horrible people. We're God's chosen, the ones who are here to shine. God's people. A royal priesthood. I love this. Don't you love this next phrase? His own special people. We talk today like we used to talk 100 years ago. A peculiar people. There's something to be said for being different from the world. I understand that. But the word peculiar today just has a little bit different ring, don't you think? I suspect if some kid playing with your kid called your kid peculiar, that'd be the end of that day. I like this. A special people. His own special people. God's chosen generation. God has chosen you and I to shine, to be His reflectors of His own glory to the world that sits in darkness. Why do they sit? Because it's so dark they can't walk. And they wait and they wonder how to get out of this darkness, waiting, yearning for a vision of what is possible, what God has for them. And you are the chosen generation in this place. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Praise God, he's called you out of darkness and he's calling you to tell others in Lakeland. God has a work for you to do. There are people in Lakeland sitting in darkness waiting to hear from you. What can you do? Where do we start? How do we begin? Here's how. I want you to make a little commitment for me. I want you to pray for Lakeland. Pray for the people who sit in darkness. Pray for the people who don't know God. Pray for the people who don't deserve it. Pray for the ones that if it were your humanity, you'd have other choice words for them. Pray for them instead. Pray for Lakeland. Pray for those who don't know our God. And I want you to pray at noon. Pray for them when you bow your head for your lunchtime meal. I want this prayer not to be about Uncle Joe who broke his leg. Not about your cousin who can't find a husband. Those are important things. But this prayer is not about us. It's not about our family. It's not about the people around us or ourselves. God, I need a new car. That's not what this is about. This is about the people of Lakeland praying evangelistically, praying for Lakeland, praying that God will use that little reflector known as you to reach out. That God will pull out his little reflector. You know, the doctors used to put those little reflector dinghies on their head. You remember those? That little reflector thing, you know? That's us. That's us. We're just there to be adjusted, to shine into the dark place where God needs us to shine. At noon, I want you to pray. Pray evangelistically for Lakeland. Pray for those who need to know God. Not for other stuff. Reserve just that one time. You can go ahead and thank him for the food. Not a problem. But then, pray for the people of Lakeland. Pray how God can use you. Pray how God will use you to reach out to them. How are your outreaches coming that we did a couple of weeks ago? Have you been in contact with people? I'd like to hear it. If you've gotten some word back from those that you've written letters to and sent cards to and those things, let me know. And if you haven't, and you say, oh man, I blew it, I haven't done anything, that's all right. That's okay. Just adjust the mirror a little bit and keep on going. That's all. Just adjust the mirror. Send them something else. Contact them again. Be reflecting the love of Jesus, who was willing to leave the comforts and joys of heaven to come to this dark earth. For you and I, he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. What a beautiful thing the Lord has done for us. We're simply reflectors. That's all. Reflecting that light to others. So, this week, and in fact, until we have our evangelistic series, I want you to be praying at noon. Praying at noon. for the people of Lakeland? And then how can God use me to answer that prayer? It's noon. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light, that we are your chosen generation. And yet, Father, it's not for us. But the lamps are for others. Father, may we have your Holy Spirit, the oil in our vessels, that we might shine in the darkness of this world. To the people of Lakeland, Father, just now, we want to turn our minds to them, to those who sit in darkness, who know not our God as we do. Father, there are so many who don't know which way to turn. They don't know if there's a God. And if there is a God, they don't know if he loves them. Father, we pray for them. We turn our hearts and our minds to them. We turn our thoughts to them. We turn our efforts to them, that as you have done for us, given us mercy when we didn't deserve it, that we might also give mercy. That the glory that shone to Moses on the mount, the glory that rises upon us, might be reflected to them. The glory of Jesus, who gave himself for the world. May we also be willing to give to those who don't deserve it, that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.